If you have a Bible, or if you have a phone, or if you have a tablet, if you at home, or just, yeah, whatever you're doing too, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I know that that's in the New Testament, okay? So you're safe if you go towards the book of Revelation and then go left for a bit. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Today we're going a little different direction. As you know, we've been studying the book of Luke. And I thought this week I got an email and it just really spoke to my heart. And I thought, well, Lord, are you wanting to go a certain direction? And as I continued to pray about it, I felt that the direction we're going to go is what he wanted. And I believe as much as I can understand, I believe this is a message directly from God's heart for us today in the times that we're in. The Old Testament scriptures speak of people that were wise and they understood the times that they were in. And so today I'd like to encourage us to understand the times that we are in. Would anyone say that the times seem to be a bit challenging in some ways? Anybody here feel that things are going a little bit different than you thought it might go? Yeah. It's important that we understand that God is in the midst of everything that's going on. How many believe that? God is in charge. He's in charge. And so today's message, I believe, is from the heart of God, and it's entitled, A Call to Stand. I believe that he's calling us to stand, and there's a certain way that he would want us to stand, and it's very, very important. So I wanted to start the message with 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It says, for God, notice it's God, has not. All the way through scripture, we see often God has, God does. But here we see that God has not given us a spirit of fear, a spirit of being afraid, a spirit that we can't trust him. We can trust him. But God has not given us the spirit of fear. But notice he goes on, but of power. We have dunamis power. Power like dynamite that lives inside of us. God lives inside of us. Greater is he that lives in us than he that is in the world. And so, for God does not give us, has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Now, your translation right there may say that he's not given us timidity. And that's a good translation too. He's not called us to be timid. He's not called us to stand in timidity. He's called us to stand in godly boldness, to stand upon the truth that we see in Scripture. And it's important that we would do that because we are in interesting times, times that maybe you have never walked through. I walked through the 60s, in the 60s. It was before I was saved. I remember those. But I remember when we got saved in the beginning of the 70s. It was still there. And I remember all that was going on in America at that time. How confusing it seemed. There were so many people. I was in Southern California, so I saw it all the time. The hippies just, on drugs and free sex and different things that were going on. A generation that was being lost. And God stepped right into the middle of it. He asked the church to make a stand. And the church made a stand. Calvary Chapels was part of that stand, but only part of it. Many other churches, and it came, and it just like a wave that went all the way across the United States in different ways. Today, I'd love to see that wave come again, would you not?
Yes.
So we are called to stand. We're not called to be in a spirit of fear, but power and of love and a sound mind. Go with me to Philippians first. Philippians chapter 3, please. As I was working on the message, I felt that I wanted to go here to Philippians chapter 3 for a number of reasons. Where Paul the Apostle says, finally, my brethren, finally, my family. You guys realize we're a family? Think back to when we were, quote, locked down. That was not a good time, was it? Man, I missed you guys so much. You know, just going up there on Sunday mornings and, you know, looking into a camera and thinking, I miss my family. You know, we're able to communicate. Praise the Lord. God can do whatever he can do in the ways that he can do it. And I'm very thankful for that. I'm so excited about it. We learned a lot of lessons through that. But I was so thankful. Do you guys remember when we came back and we were outside the first Sunday? I mean, it was like being in a candy store. It really was. It was just so much fun. We're family. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Underline that, please, if you'd like to, on your tablet. Rejoice in the Lord. We are to rejoice in everything. Give thanks to God in everything. Whatever we're faced, whatever this week is going to look like, whatever this week coming up brings to us, we are to rejoice in him. And he goes on, for me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. And so a lot of what we're going to look at today, you guys have heard before, because we're in the Word of God. Notice Jordan said that. He was doing the announcements and saying, we're blessed because we're a church in the Word. I'm thankful. It's not about a person. It's not about me in any way. It's about what the Spirit of God has done. And you guys have added to that. You've responded to that. You're part of that. And it's very special that you see that. For me to write the same thing. So some of these things we're going to see are things that you've heard before, but it's fresh, I believe, in that I believe it is a message from the Lord for us to consider today. And it's not tedious, but for you it is safe. So it's there for us to be guarded. You notice in verse 2, he says, beware of dogs. There is an enemy. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. At that point, it was pointing to the legalist. Notice verse 3. For we are the circumcision. We belong to God. We're believers. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. That's what we do. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. And then look at the last part of this verse, verse 3, and have no confidence in the flesh. I believe part of the encouragement that we are to receive this morning is that we are not to trust in the flesh one bit. As we go into this week is going to maybe unfold differently than we think, because it's unfolding differently than I thought it would. And quite honestly, than the way I wanted it to be honest with you. I thought maybe a certain thing would happen, but it went different. And I remember as it went different, I could not believe that it went different. I could not. And I was going, and I found myself, you know, kind of like on the edge of being disappointed with God. But God, this doesn't seem right. Anybody else there? Just a little bit? Just look, come on, help me feel, you know, part of the family and all that. But I was there. I was struggling. Then I stepped back from it and just allowed him to minister to me. And I said, and I just very quickly came to the point, what makes you think God's not in control of this? That still small voice gets you right there. I'm in control, Bill. Is there a possibility, Bill, that I've allowed this? Because I am about reaching souls of men, women, boys, and girls. And I thought, yeah, Lord, of course. Again, I went back to the 60s and the 70s when I got saved and saw the outpouring of God's Spirit. Do you guys not hunger for an outpouring of His Spirit? And so we could be just getting ready to see him come in a way that maybe we've never seen him before come. And I pray that he does. And so important that we understand that we are to have no confidence in the flesh whatsoever. We're to be people of the Spirit. We're to walk powerfully in the Spirit. We're not to be afraid, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Go with me to Ephesians. Just back a little bit here. Ephesians chapter 6, please. Again, an area that is very familiar, but yet I felt that it was important. Today's message again is a call to stand. Why? Because the battle rages before our very eyes. I believe before our very eyes we are seeing things that we need to have discernment about. I believe that the return of Jesus Christ is around the corner. Anybody else? I don't know what around the corner means, but I'm looking for around the corner because I'm excited about the return of Jesus Christ. And we must keep our eyes set upon him. Here in Ephesians chapter 6, you guys are familiar with it. We see the army. Finally, my brethren, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What do we see here in these two verses? Number one, the soldier's charge, stay strong. I believe that from the heart of God, he would have me encourage you and myself, stay strong. How do we do that? We stay in the Word. We stay in prayer. We stay in fellowship. We stay close to the Lord. We abide in Him. We will see fruit and more fruit and much fruit from our lives. And so stay there, strong in the Lord. Very important that that is our charge. The power of His might. It's His might, not our might. That's how we're going to get through this. It's through His might. And then put on the whole armor of God, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But here it comes again, the soldier's charge, but here's the soldier's enemy, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes, the strategies of the devil. There is an enemy to our soul, is there not? There truly is. We know that. And then as we go into verse 12, we see the soldier's warfare. There is warfare that's described. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? You know, it's no game for sissies. If you want to be a Christian sissy, there's no place. We are called to be bold. We are called to be soldiers of Jesus Christ. We are called. Now, will we have difficult times? Oh, yes. Have I not walked in boldness or the way that God would have me walk at times? Yes. But He's so gracious. He comes back and He ministers, and He's very patient in that way. So we understand there's a soldier's charge, stand. Soldier's enemy, there is a devil. The soldier's warfare, it's not human, but it is spiritual. There's a battle going on for the souls of people. What we are experiencing, what we will experience this week, I truly believe that God is in control of it. Again, amen? Amen. He's in control of it. But I believe it has to do with the spiritual realm, ultimately. Got to understand what is going on. And then we see the soldier's duty there in verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, or to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. That's the soldier's duty. And then it's described there, as we see, beginning in verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, God's truth, God's righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The gospel, Jesus came out of heaven, became one of us, walked on this earth and never rebelled against the Father. God himself became one of us. They put him on the cross. God himself died for you and I. God was placed in a grave. God rose from the dead to the living in the person of Jesus Christ. That's what we believe today. Take up the whole armor of God. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. That's truth that we've spoken of out of Scripture. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, His righteousness. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We just talked about that gospel. Above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That's a promise. That's a promise. When we're faced with things that are, we know it's spiritual, it comes from the enemy, that it's important for us to make a stand and say, Lord, it's all about you. You're in control. There's times where we have been, many times we've been face to face with people that are demon-possessed, actually demon-possessed. By the power of Jesus Christ, I've seen countless of people delivered from those situations. God is good. Above all, verse 16, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, And then Paul wraps it up by saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And so the soldier's duty to put on the whole armor of God. Go with me to Romans chapter 7, please. I thought it was important for us just to reconsider and to refresh our minds about what is the true battle. What is it today? Where is the battle found? Romans chapter 7 tells us that the battle is found in the flesh. Sin dwells in our lives. Beginning in verse 13, Romans chapter 7. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Sin is an enemy to our souls. For we know, verse 14, that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, I'm fleshly, sold under sin. For what I am doing, Paul said, I do not understand. There's a battle going on. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. There's a battle that's going on. Sin that is within me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. You can see the battle going on. Now, verse 20. If I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, this battle, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. And look what Paul does in verse 24. He brings us to the heart of the whole issue. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? We all have a need because of sin that's in our lives. But I'm glad that Paul gave us verse 25, aren't you? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Where is the victory over sin? The victory is found in Jesus Christ. His life, his death for each and every one of us. So there's a battle. There's an enemy that we have of sin, and we cannot yield to it. We must allow it to be mortified, crucified, placed on the cross. Go with me, Isaiah chapter 14, back into the Old Testament. So that's where our battle is. Today as Christians, we have a battle that way. We truly, truly do. And we should walk in the victory that is given to each and every one of us through Jesus Christ. But there's another enemy. Isaiah chapter 14, beginning in verse 12. How have you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground. You who weaken the nations, you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Praise the Lord. There is a devil to our soul. There is an enemy to our soul, and that's the devil, Lucifer himself. And so we have the flesh, but God has given us victory over the flesh. We have the enemy, but we see that he will be brought down. Revelation tells us someday he will be locked into the lake of fire forever and ever. Anybody say praise the Lord for that? We're going to experience something that's entirely different someday when we're with the Lord forever and ever. Go with me to 1 John now. Back into the New Testament just before Revelation chapter 2. The message is a reminder today of what we know, but yet I believe specifically for us to consider once again. Today we are to be reminded that we are soldiers in the Lord's army. But there is an enemy that resists that. And the third aspect, we've had the sin, the flesh, and then we had Satan and his forces. But now notice in verse 15, the world. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is, what's it say? Passing away. What's passing away mean? It's disappearing, isn't it? Someday, very soon, fading away, passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God does what? Abides. How long? Forever. That's you and I. This world is a crazy world, is it not? Totally crazy. I believe that this week is going to introduce more craziness. I really do. But I don't look to a person. I don't look to a party, a political party. I remember that behind all of that is the enemy trying to destroy everybody. And I believe it's important for us to realize we have a call to stand against these, but we have a call to stand in the way that God would have us stand, not to allow fear to take us over, to stand upon the power of God as we continue to go forward, because God wants to bring, I believe, a big outpouring of His Spirit upon our lives. Go to Matthew chapter 12, please. Matthew chapter 12. I do believe that we are to be aware of what is going on, but I believe that we have to be guarded too, that we don't get too controlled by what is going on. Get into the Scriptures. Stay in prayer. Stay in fellowship. Bathe your mind with the truth that is found in Scripture. It'll protect your hearts. But here's the reality. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 25, what Jesus said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself, what's it say? Will not stand. I have believed for years, and I have shared this with you guys before, that before the truth that we find in Revelation can be unfolded, that God has to do something with the United States of America. He's got to, either politically, militarily, economically, all of the above. The United States of America has to lose some things that we have been known for. And I believe that there's a potential. Now, that's not a negative statement. That's a positive statement, because I look for the fact of the return of Jesus Christ. I look for Him reaching out for the souls of people. And I remember the 60s, all the needs that were there, drugs and all that was going on. And it opened up just this avenue for an outpouring of God's Spirit because of the need that was in people's heart. We are going to see, brothers and sisters, we're going to see more so if we pay attention, if we watch, we listen, if we're open, we're going to see the needs of people opening up to God. I really believe that. It's very important we would do that. But yet, we need to understand a nation divided against itself cannot stand. Are we divided? Scary, isn't it? I like comfort. I like America. I mean, when I'm standing at a parade as a chaplain, we're there doing our thing as a chaplain when the parade is marching by. When that flag comes by, I pause and go, I understand what's behind that flag. I understand who sacrificed. I understand friends that died in Vietnam. I understand that. I'm all that. But we are citizens of another kingdom, are we not? And so we must stand strong in that way. Go with me to Jude chapter 3. Or not chapter 3, verse 3. Jude 3. You guys with me? Okay. I believe Matthew 12, 25 speaks of the current direction that we are on as a nation. I believe that God can change that, but maybe He'll just allow us once and for all to have what we maybe in a sense deserve. But how are we to fight this battle that is before us? Jude tells us that in verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. How are we to go forward? How are we to be in the midst of this battle? How are we to be victorious? I believe that we are to contend earnestly for the faith. Walk in the faith. Go with me now to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Old Testament, and this is where we'll wrap up. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. A lot of you thought for sure I'll get back to this chapter. I love this chapter. It's a great chapter. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. How are we to go forward in victory? I believe that this chapter unveils many, many things to us. If you're interested in principles of warfare, there's over 30 principles of warfare in this chapter. You can go this afternoon and just go through it and spend some time. But what I want to do is just go through this very briefly, how we are to go forward in victory. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others were with them besides the Amorites came to battle against Jehoshaphat." One might say, but this is unfair, God. Jehoshaphat had just cleaned up the nation. He had gotten rid of the idol worship. He'd gone to the leadership and got them straightened out. He got the nation heading the right way. It was a beautiful thing that was set up. And then all of a sudden there was an enemy. An enemy that was large and big, that's what's described in verse 1, came to him. How can that be fair, Lord? Haven't we stood for this? Haven't we stood for that? But God has his ways in the midst of it. Look at verse 2, he says, "Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is En Gedi.' And Jehoshaphat," verse 3, "feared." Notice the first thing that he did. He feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Now, no doubt he saw the enemy and there was a fear for him initially. But what he did, he took that fear and brought it under control. And he set himself to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah responded, gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and in Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court. And so this battle comes against him, and what does he do? He just stands there. But notice what he does in verse 5. He stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house. He goes to the house of the Lord before the new court and said, he goes to prayer. And this prayer at first is a prayer that he goes to God and he says, "God, this is who you are. This is who you've always been." And I believe that can be an encouragement to us today, that we are to remember who God has always been. How many believe that he'll never forsake us nor never leave us? Do we believe that? How many believe that he's a God who said to us, "Be confident of this very thing, that I've begun a good work in you and I will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ"? How many believe that? Well, that. How many believe the scriptures in John chapter 14? He says, I must go, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to return. And then I'm going to take you to where I am. And we'll live with him forever and ever. How many believe that? We believe that today, do we not? We go back to those things that we believe in the midst of trying times. This week is going to unfold to us some trying things, at least personally, if I'm speaking for myself. I didn't think we were going to get here. I knew that we would get here, but I didn't think it was going to be this soon in the midst of my lifetime. I was going to, just live life comfortably, but things can change. Amen? Things can change. I'm not trying to be a negative prophet in any way. I'm trying to just say reality. Look at what we see, but don't be afraid. Understand, trust him. God will take us through everything. And so one way to do it, Jehoshaphat did it right there. He said, "I'm going to pray. And I'm going to remind God who you are and who you've been in my life." And he goes on in verse 16, or 6, he says, "O Lord God of your fathers, you are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you?" Is that who God is? That's who God is today for us too. Verse 7, he says, "Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your father, your friend forever?" Did God not do that for Israel? Yes. Is he not able to do things for us? You bet. Look at verse 8. "And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save." Did he not do that for the nation of Israel? For those there? Did he?
Yes.
Is he the same yesterday, today, and forever? Whatever comes our way this week, is he not in control? Can he not be victorious in the midst of it? You bet. And who are we called? We're called to make a stand. We're called to stand as Christians for the glory of God, you and I. He goes on now, and then he gets very specific after praying and reminding God, this is who you are. Then look in verse 10, he says, "And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir." And I believe we are to go to prayer like maybe we've never gone to prayer before. "Whom you would not let Israel invade when you came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Oh, our God," specific prayer, "will you not judge them? Will you not deal with the situation?" I believe we need to pray. We need to pray for God's judgment. We need to pray for God's justice. We need to pray for God's revival in the midst of our nation, in the hearts of people. And then look at verse 12. He says, "For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do." But what does it say? "But our eyes are upon you." There's our marching orders. There's the reality of our lives. We may not understand all that's going on. And I believe the message for us today is a message to say the way that it is. We may experience something that we didn't think we would be there this coming week, but we are not defeated. God is in the midst of this, and he has a plan for all that he's doing. And put our eyes upon him. Notice verse 13. "Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives and their children stood before the Lord. Then the spirit of the came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly." So the spirit came upon an individual. And notice what he said in verse 15. And he said, "Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem," God's people is what he's saying, "listen, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but whose is it? It's God." I believe that's a message from the heart of the Lord. Today, the battle belongs to the Lord. And look at verse 16. "Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeuel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves." Why would they not need to fight in this battle? Because the battle was won. Why do we need not to fight in this battle? Because the battle is won. Where was the battle won? At the cross of Jesus Christ. We learn to stand in him. A call to stand in him. And we are to walk through this. You will not need to fight in this battle. That doesn't mean we're not to be in prayer. Doesn't mean we're not to be in the Word. Doesn't mean that we're not to be there doing whatever God has us to do. But the battle is God's. And he says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. That's very important. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Wonderful result. If you go through this chapter, I'm not going to go through it. They come to a point and they say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And then they come, look at verse 30, at the end of this whole thing. In verse 30, it says, then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. Someday, special rest for you and I. We're going to be in heaven. Special rest. But in the meantime, we are in the midst of warfare. And we've seen that we put on the armor of God and we understand it. We're not unwise, but we stand in him, for he has won the victory. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's stand together and let's pray. Lord, a simple message today, but yet I believe it's from your heart. I believe that the words that we have spoken are important for us to consider this week, to meditate upon them and to allow your Spirit to search our hearts. Lord, if there's any fear, then I pray that you would take that away from our lives. Lord, there can be confusion, and pray that you would make it so that confusion would be taken away. Lord, I pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon each and every one of us as we continue to serve you. We pray in Jesus' name, and I pray that we all agree that, Lord, you would revive us. That you would move in our hearts in ways maybe you've never moved before. We trust you for that, Lord. We cry out for that. We would stand and see you. Please, Lord, please come. Use us. May many of our family members become saved. May we, as your children, come alive. Make a stand. Turn away from the world. Deal with the sin that would be in our lives. Lord, you work in ways that only you can work, so there may be great fruit for your glory. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen.